Praise the Lord. Our reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 to 3. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, in preparation for Christmas, we continue our study of the Messianic prophecies. We have seen how God had promised Abraham that through his descendant, through his offspring, the whole world, the entire humanity will be blessed. So the promise was focused on a particular individual, the son of promise, born to Abraham when he was 100 years old and his wife 90 years old. A son that is born in an extremely impossible situation, totally unexpected, a miraculous gift of God as the promise of the fulfillment of his promise. God gave Abraham Isaac. God had tested Abraham's faith several times. It was a great test when Abraham was asked to abandon his land, his kindred, and his father's house. It was an exodus into an unknown future. His faith was tested all through the journey, the pilgrimage with God. But now comes the supreme test. The reading starts saying that God tested Abraham. Very often we use the word also temptation. Test and temptation. The Greek word is the same, peirazein. And temptation is peirazo. But the nuance of the two words are different. The test and temptation. Very often in the Lord's Prayer, these two words are used with the same meaning. Lead us not into temptations, some versions say, or lead us not to the test, another version. Test and temptation. What is test and what is temptation? We read the letter of St. James, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. The same word used in two different meanings. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. And then later on, James would say, God doesn't tempt anybody and God is not tempted. So what is temptation and what is test? Test, as we know, is an occasion, an opportunity to prove one's fidelity, one's ability. Students who go to school have to undergo tests to make sure that they have studied. Before you get a certificate, you'll have to undergo a test to show that you know what you have been taught, a test. A test that is an occasion for proving oneself. So there is a test of faith. God allows the faith to be tested. And this test somehow enables the person to grow. It gives him an opportunity of growth. Test is something positive. Test is something helpful. God tested Abraham. But Abraham did not know God was testing him. Why did God test Abraham, we could ask? Did not God know that Abraham would believe? Was God not sure of the faith of Abraham, of his trustworthiness? Did God need a proof to show that Abraham would believe? I don't think so. God knows everything. God knows who Abraham is, and God knows what Abraham would do. Then why ask this? Why is this test? It's not for God, but it is for Abraham and for all of us. God allows Abraham's faith to be tested, allowing Abraham a chance to prove his faith. Not only proving, through this test, Abraham is growing in his faith. He becomes aware also of his faith. And he becomes aware of the cost of faith, what it costs to believe, and what it means to believe in God. Another question, why did God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? And it is so clearly stated, take your son, your only son, whom you love. Again and again emphasizing the relation of Abraham to Isaac. Your son, your only son, the son whom you love. That's all what Abraham has. This is all for whom Abraham was living. This is the promise God had given to him when Abraham was plucked out of his country, of his father's house. It is for this son he was living. It was the hope in this son that was somehow driving him forward. Now God is asking Abraham to take this son, go to the place that he would show, and offer him as a burnt offering. Holocaust. A totally burnt offering. Why so cruel? Why does God ask for a sacrifice of a human being? Does God ask human beings to be sacrificed? It was common among the people with whom Abraham lived in Canaan. There, people used to offer human sacrifice. The people believed that gods would be pleased with an offering. They used to offer sacrifices, thinking that all that human beings like, the gods also like. People who like meat think that gods like meat. People who like drinking wine think that gods like wine. So they used to offer wine to God, they used to offer meat. And together with this, when you are in great need, you will have to please your God in a great way. As it is normal in the concrete situation, human situations, if you want to please someone in authority and you want to get a great favor, you will have to offer him something great, a great bribe. So this is the concept that was among the people. If you want a great favor to be received from God, you give him a great offering. When you are in mortal danger, you or your country, then you offer the biggest offering possible, a human being. We have reports in the Bible that God's offering their own sons. For example, Ahaz offering his own son in the crisis of the Assyrian invasion. We know the story of the kings of Edom sacrificing their sons. And it was very common among the people of Canaan, human sacrifice. So now the question is God asking for a human sacrifice? If God, the God of Abraham, is asking for a human sacrifice, then how is this God different from other gods? There is no difference. Abraham did not ask any of these questions. Abraham believed. Abraham was asked to offer a sacrifice, and Abraham was ready to give. So Abraham was called upon to offer his sacrifice. Now let us read, continue with the reading. Chapter 22, verse 4 following. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham had his two servants with him and Isaac. Now at the distance he saw the place. Moriah is the place called, the mountain ranges, Moriah. Yahweh sees. That's what the word means, Moriah. And Abraham takes leave of the servants and goes to the mountain, all decided. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked together. The father and the son. The only son, the son whom he loved, is now laden with the wood for the sacrifice, climbing the mountain. Abraham does not falter. Abraham doesn't question. But the son questions. Verse 7. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" A heartbreaking question. Here is fire, here is knife, here is wood. Where is the animal for sacrifice? Where is the lamb for a sacrifice? It's a normal question the boy would ask. But what should the father say? He doesn't say, "You are the lamb." The father cannot say that. Here we see into the depths of Abraham's sorrow and also the trust he has. What does Abraham say? Verse 8, Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." God himself will provide a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. It's repeated. In verse 6, it is said the two of them walked together. And the two of them walked on together. So the father and the son walking together. We are not told how is the story going to end now. Abraham doesn't know. Isaac doesn't know either. But Abraham knows only one thing. He has to do what God has asked him to. And Isaac is totally unaware of what is awaiting him. But the declaration of Abraham is a declaration of faith. God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. When he came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. So he is ready to do all that God wants. Doesn't hold anything back. Abraham doesn't know what will happen to him next. Abraham knows only one thing, that God has called him and God demands this of him. God is the God of promise, and Abraham believed that God will keep his promise. God will achieve the purpose for which Abraham was called. What is expected of Abraham is only his cooperation, his obedience, and unquestioning faith, unquestioning obedience. Abraham is ready. Abraham is ready to sacrifice everything. He was ready to sacrifice his past, that he had achieved when he left Haran. Abraham was ready all throughout his life to sacrifice anything. Now he is asked to sacrifice his future also, his hopes. Now nothing else remains. He at the age of 100, an old man, and more. Now, the last hope, everything that was pitched on this particular son is also now taken up. Abraham is left without anything. Without anything except God and his word. He is ready to give. A total surrender, a total submission. It is at this moment that God intervenes again. Chapter 22, verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, an urgent call, an emergency. That's why the call is repeated twice. Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Abraham has only one answer. When he is called, he is always ready. Here I am. Here I am, he said. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So there is the test, and here is the proof. Now I know. Not that God just came to know now. Now Abraham also knows how deep his faith and commitment to God is. Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Yahweh Yireh. God will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. The faith of Abraham is rewarded. When Isaac asked, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. So on the mountain of Moriah, meaning God sees, here Abraham is given a lamb for sacrifice. God provides. On the mountain of God, God provides. The story doesn't end here. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you. And I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of their enemies. And by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice. Three times the word offspring is mentioned here. A blessing for the whole nations through the offspring of Abraham is promised. So here we have the very concrete messianic promise coming again. By your offspring, or in your offspring, shall all the nations bless themselves. The whole world, humanity, will be blessed through the offspring of Abraham. Now, the question we asked in the beginning, does God ask for a human sacrifice? And the answer is an emphatic no. God doesn't want sacrifice, human sacrifice. What God wants is obedience, a surrender, obedience to God's plan and will, because that is what leads us to salvation, to life. God is the source of life. God is the maker of humanity. He is the one who knows what is the best for us. And his plan is for our good and for our salvation. And unless and until we follow that will, we will not have life. What God wants is that we have life, and life in abundance. And we have this life only insofar as we obey God's command. The commandments of God is not restricting our freedom. It is giving us freedom. Freedom means the possibility to grow to the fullness, to perfection. So what God was asking Abraham was to surrender his will to God's will, not to kill his boy, his son, but to kill his own egoism. So this was the test, Epeirasmos. This was not a temptation. It was a test to prove his fidelity to God, his trust in God. But temptation is something else. Temptation doesn't come from God. Temptation comes from the evil one. That's what we saw in the paradise. The serpent, Satan, tempted humanity. Satan tempts Jesus Christ in the desert. Temptation comes from the evil one, and that is leading to evil. The purpose of temptation is destruction, is causing infidelity, failure, evil. The temptation is always to something evil. The temptation presents evil as good and good as evil and confuses the mind, forces the person to make the wrong choice. So that is temptation. God doesn't tempt anybody like that. But it can happen that a test turns into a temptation. A test that was intended to prove our fidelity to God can become an occasion, an opportunity for temptation, for denying God. In fact, that is what happened with Adam and Eve. They were tested, but the test ended up as a temptation and they failed. Here, Abraham succeeded. Abraham remained faithful in that test. And in that test, God gave him the promise that through him, through his offspring, the whole world, entire humanity will be blessed. Now, continuing the story of Abraham and his sacrifice, we note one thing. God had asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, the son whom you love. And at the end, Abraham did not have to sacrifice that son. On the mountain of God, God provided a lamb. But the question of Isaac continued in the history. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? The lamb that brings total reconciliation with God is offered for the forgiveness of the whole world's sin. And that lamb was given in Jesus Christ, the only son. Abraham's only son was spared, but God did not spare his only son. God so loved the world as to give his only son for the remission, for the redemption of the world. So Isaac here becomes a symbol, a prototype of the Son of God sacrificed on the same mountain, Moriah. This is what the promise given to Abraham is leading to. In your seed, the whole world will be blessed. And Isaac becomes a pattern, a prototype of the only sacrifice God made, the sacrifice of his son. And for his birth, we are preparing ourselves. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your son as a redemption for us, as a ransom, and a source of life and reconciliation with you. You asked Abraham to offer his only son. You ask us also to surrender ourselves, whatever is closest to us, surrender ourselves completely to you, that you can work in us and through us. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son as our Redeemer. Jesus Christ, open our hearts and open our eyes to understand the depth of the love the Father has for us and the love you have for us. Enable us to respond with a total surrender of faith and obedience as Abraham did. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.